And we're back.
Just like the Five Musketeers.
Three Musketeers, isn't it?
Well, nobody knows how many there were, really, do they?
You know that the Three Musketeers is a fiction, right? Written by Alexander Dumas.
A lot of people are saying that about the Bible these days.
What, that it was written by Alexander Dumas?
Don't be daft, Steve. It was written by Jesus.
Solving the following riddle will reveal the awful secret behind the universe.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 second, please.
Coming at you, WCCC, half past the hour, partly cloudy skies today, high of 74 degrees on this beautiful Thursday. No, just kidding, gang. I am definitely not a Nut Hut morning zookeeper who gets payola to shill top 40 direct for the record companies. The Rick D Show, this is not. What this is the first of many, well, we'll see, the first of more than one installment, anyway, of the Orange Room broadcast. I'm your host, Sean Talley. Welcome. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you're having a tremendous day or night, wherever you may be. Tremendous. Apologies, that was a little gym room of me. Rack me. Anyway, this program is part of the CAE Network, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blog Talk Radio. Just search Con Artist Entertainment or CAE Network on any of those platforms. And if you like what you hear, if I may show myself for a second, you can be awesome and rate, review, subscribe, or all of the above on said services. I'm still kind of fleshing out what I want this show to be, but I know I'll be talking a little bit about everything and nothing. The show's going to contain some harsh language, sorry, Ma, and an even harsher sense of propriety, but you will learn to love me, eventually, I hope. A little bit about me if you don't know me personally or have not heard me before on the Con Artist Podcast. I'm a cynical cinephile who enjoys running his yapper with like-minded folks about all manner of geek topics, pop culture, sports, history, politics, just about everything. And for now, I'll be having a guest host or two on with me who can rap about whatever particular topics I'm on about in a given week. And with that, my co-host on this pilot episode is an old pal of mine, someone who knows a thing or two about brewing beer and about music, as he is the mastermind disc jockey behind Radio Ulna, heard on this very network, Mr. Antonius Block. Thank you for sitting in with me for this pilot episode, sir.
Not a problem, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. And the setup we're working with here is a little... It's pretty top-notch, actually. We're recording it on the campus of St. Leo University in a broadcast studio. It's a small little private institution north of Tampa, Florida that employs yours truly. So hopefully we sound better behind some real microphones and not dodgy Skype connections that you used to if you've ever listened to any of the other channels' programming. So, and again, Antonius Block is a host of his own show, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But one thing you're known for, I'm guessing, these days, because you look just like Jake Johnson from Drinking Buddies, and I think all you brewers have the same kind of facial hair and trucker hat, but you got pretty serious about beer making in recent months, and you're even going to be going to school for it soon, so I must ask you, what gave you the bug to start making your own?
Honestly, it was in 2007. This was back when I was still in the Army. I was going through some training, and I had about 6 or 7 months to kill. And between then and my next station, I thought, why not do something new? So I started making beer. Made my first batch of a Hef. Little package from a Northern Brewer, and I've been going ever since, so since about 2007.
You got in on it early, because I'm talking to you about this off-air, like, the craft beer has exploded in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, because here, and people are talking, it all really started out here with Cigar City Brewing up here in Tampa, but they're saying that Tampa might be the new Pacific Northwest. It might be the San Diego of this part of, I guess, the southeastern part of the United States.
Yeah, my buddy Mark, who works with those guys, Cigar City, and I mean, they had a little bit of backing. You know that their owners, like the son.
Yeah, he's got all those wonderful establishments up on the road.
Those famous establishments you might hear in Motley Crue song, Girls, Girls, Girls. Purveyor of smut, he was called by his opponent when he ran for mayor. He was telling me that there are over 2,000 craft breweries in the United States now, and that's just crazy to me.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to think of it as like, yeah, we've got over 2,000, but it's still only less than like 6% of the market. Everything else is owned by foreign companies or like some bigger ones like InBev.
Please.
Or
Budweiser's owned by a foreign company now.
Yeah, I know. So you got South Africa, you got Germany with their hands in the craft beer pocket. But, I mean, that means that there's just room to grow. The stuff going on with Sam Adams doing their West Coast style IPA and Lagunitas, that's just – it's indicative of a shrinking pool.
Right.
But, I mean, all in all, the community is not about stepping on other toes, but rather just making good brew. I say drink local.
Right. No, it's buy local for everything as far as I'm concerned. I'm a hippie. But I find that a lot of people, myself included, end up trying stuff like Newcastle, and that was like the first beers, like the gateway beer that opened their world up. Like they realized that not every beer is supposed to taste like Bud Light / cold urine in a bottle.
Funny you should mention that. When I first moved to Tampa, I lived in a nice little apartment out there in Hyde Park. With that particular Hyde Park style, tan, always wears gym clothes but never goes to the gym, enhanced bosoms and whatnot. And one of my buddies, who shall remain nameless, brought one of these ladies over to my home, unannounced, and we start talking. And I'm doing my best to be a polite host, you know. I offer her a beer, just some probably some Green Flash, I don't even recall. But she goes, "Oh my God, this is excellent. This is the best." And I was like, "Oh, have you had craft beer before?" And she goes, "Oh yeah, you know, I've had craft beer. Amstel and Stella." And my buddy could see my fist. I didn't even realize that I had already like made this white ball of a fist in my hand, and I held my tongue because I wanted to ask her, so are you Sicilian or Black Irish, because I can't tell.
You're that guy who goes to the restaurant and they're like, "What kind of beers you have?" And they're like, "Bud, Miller," and you're like, "Also none." Like, you're becoming that snob.
Yeah, I've toned it down a bit. I mean, I actually had a Bud Light a couple of weeks back at the Lightning game, and it was delicious because I haven't had it in so long. It was a new flavor for me. Granted, it tastes like boiled corn, but...
Yeah, but you could probably pass it off to some of your buddies who hadn't had it in so long. They're like, "Wow, this is a decent texture. It goes down smooth." And then...
Actually, at our club meetings, for those of you in the Tampa area, there is the best club in Tampa. It's called Special Operations over at Southern Brewing and at Dats every other Tuesday and Sunday. We usually have a test. We bought this kit, the spike kit. So we'll have some beers and we'll spike it with something. And most of the time you spike it, it usually tastes like Bud Light. So if you're tasting some like boiled corn or you get some weird after buttery flavor in your mouth, that's diacetyl. So what they're notoriously known for.
Yeah. Or actually, if you hear us belching throughout the show, it's because we're drinking some of his home brews right now. So don't tell my bosses. I have a giant sign I wrote in here saying no food or drinks in the radio room. And meanwhile, I'm chugging a beer. But you said something about there's one of the biggest events coming up, right, locally.
That's right. The Best Florida Beer Competition's coming up. I think tomorrow is the last day to submit. And over the next couple of weeks, there'll be different events. A lot of brewers and judges coming together. And they'll be judging all the different beers from all the different categories throughout Florida to come up. And there's two types. There's the home brewer and the professional one. I just stuck with the home brew one. But these guys will come together, and over the next couple of weeks, they'll announce a winner, and they'll push it over at the Brewers Ball, which I think is in late February, which is champion of champions winner. They all come together. And it's a good chance for the community to get together. It's a good chance to, like, just bring your own stuff and just pass it off. And you get a lot of good feedback, because these guys aren't like, "Oh, yeah, it's good."
They give you some honest criticism.
Yeah, there's a whole list of things. It's called BJCP, the Beer Judging Certification Program, and they do not pull punches. And they judge in different categories, and the winners get invited to the ball and everything. So that's something that's really coming up over the next, which is going to kick off into the Tampa Bay Beer Week, which is happening in March as well, to include Hunapu Day, which will be on March 8th of this year over at Cigar City Brewery, which is going to be fantastic from what I hear, because there's a lot of folks. So get your tickets now and get it early. There's my plug for Cigar City. Give me my money.
No, they don't need a plug. I have a friend who's a distributor out west, and then another guy I know is doing it in Orlando, and they said Cigar City's got a footprint everywhere now. It's pretty nutty.
Yeah.
Their High Life Pale Ale. If you like pale ales, Cigar City High Life Pale Ale is one of the good ones to try. Like I said, Alicia and I were watching Drinking Buddies the other night, which is streaming on Netflix, and watching him do the brewery. She's like, that's Antonius.
Hey, do you put pictures up on this thing? Like, are you going to have, like, a picture of what it looked like? So that,
no. No, man, you're still secret.
Sweet.
Tradecraft, dude. We don't
shut up, dude.
Shh. I'll cut this. No, I won't. No, Drinking Buddies, among many, like I said last year, might have been one of the best years for independent movies. Short Term 12, Before Midnight, Spectacular Now among them. But this year, starting to look good, too. I was reading about some of the big stuff at Sundance this year. Apparently, The Raid 2 was a surprise thing. Like, Gareth Evans showed up and showed the movie. And as a fan of the first one, and I don't know anyone who's not, to be quite honest, I know you're going to be looking forward to Part 2, which I think is coming out in March, finally. But getting rave reviews from the festival screenings and saying it's bigger and better in every way, so...
Is it a ripoff of Dread also, like an upcoming script?
No, that was a point of debate with a few friends of mine that we did find out that Alex Garland's Dread script was floating around online for a solid year, and word is that the Raid script really did take a page from it, literally, several pages from it. That's not to say I don't enjoy both movies on their own merits, but...
Yeah, I will just say this, though.
The Raid got a good following, despite not having really a theatrical run, and I think 2 is going to actually do decent for him, so...
Did Carl Urban make a... cameo. He's my spirit animal. I gotta
play. He's busy on RoboCop, the TV series, right now.
Ouch.
I haven't watched it. It looks like it by the descriptions, but on The Raid 2, you were quite the connoisseur of Kung Fu films, the likes of which I don't think I've ever seen after conversations with you this past couple weeks.
I've seen a couple.
But you told me the other day you were showing your lady, was it the best scenes or the best, like the baddest ass punches or kicks or something like that?
Yeah, I've got this comprehensive ongoing list, which is by no means... all-encompassing, but I usually have a list of the best punches. I call it the strongest hits in the game. Best punches, best kicks.
Nice.
Yeah, and actually we were watching some last night. We were trying to come up with some new ones. Apparently, Sammo Hung and Donnie Yen have been in more movies together than Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, these guys are, like, always fighting each other. And if you don't know who Sammo Hung is, take a look at some NBC shows from, like, the late 90s and when they try and bring that Asian influence in. But this man, just like an old fat Chinese dude.
I actually knew who he is.
Yeah. I mean, the dude is fast and he moves. He's not afraid to use wires and these dudes throw down. So if you want, I can run down a couple of my favorite hits.
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
Some of the hardest hits in the game. I'm going to start off with punches. I'm a big fan of Donnie Yen. One of my favorite movies is Yip Man. Sorry about the occupation of Japan or whatever it is they're doing, fighting Americans. Anyway... So Yip Man shows up, and he's got this move called the colloquially known as the machine gun punch. And if you've ever seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. Because as soon as he starts going, like 30 punches in 5 seconds, just like that. So it's a machine gun punch, and he puts the boots to just about everybody in that damn movie. Conversely, there is a parry to that, which is done by Sammo Hung in Yip Man 2. Which is the machine gun parry. So as fast as Donnie Yen is punching, Sammo Hung is blocking with the exact same speed and veracity, which is very impressive because, like I said, anyone who's ever seen it knows exactly what I'm talking about. So we got that, the machine gun punch and the machine gun parry. Also, we've got the X-ray punch from Ricky O. Anyone who's familiar with Sonny Chiba and the Street Fighter series has seen that once or twice. But the story of Ricky, really takes the cake when there's a young man who gets thrown in prison unjustly or justly because he killed a bunch of dudes. But he's the hero, kind of like the cleanest rag in the pile of dirty ones. And he goes off and he fights one of the main captains of the yard. There's four guys, and he fights one of them, throws the guy into the air, and punches him so hard that the only way to assess the damage is by going to X-ray and seeing his face crack into 1,000 pieces. It's quite impressive, so look that up, X-ray punch, from Ricky O. And then we can move on to the kicks. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Donnie Yen. The no shadow kick from Iron Monkey, done by Donnie Yen. Very impressive series of kicks, ended with a flying kick that just knocks him out. And I'm a big fan of the Matrix series. I don't know, Sean, if you're a big fan of that at all.
Part one was all right, and then the sequels got a little convoluted, but I need to revisit them. I think I've been too hard on them for quite some time.
I think they're on Netflix now, so...
It's funny you say that. So are Keanu's Man of Tai Chi. Just started streaming Bulletproof Monk. I saw a handful of them.
Excellent.
Last night. All the Ip Man movies are on there, I think, now.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'll revisit them, but...
Oh, anyway, to get back to the list, the Trinity Kick. For those who've never seen The Matrix or ever heard of it, take a moment to watch the first 10 minutes, Because you'll see exactly what this Trinity kick is. A beautiful leather-clad woman, dominatrix style, in a Catwoman-like outfit. Cops bust in, hold guns at her, turns around, jumps in the air, and through some form of 3D, I'm not familiar how this process is done with cameras.
That was the bullet time technique.
Something like that.
They were calling it where they whip around with cameras.
She kicks this guy so hard he goes flying on the opposite wall. And it's not a small room. She does it every movie. She only needs to do it once because it is elegant and it is deadly. Like a velvet hammer. And, oh, I think I skipped one. Also from a punch, a.k.a. a palm, from Iron Monkey, the Shaolin trader who does the Buddha palm, who puts Iron Monkey on his ass just for a few. That's it.
No, that's a good list. And for those scoring at home, that was not a nod to the Karate Kid, that crane kick in The Matrix. But
was it?
Similar. Sorry, pantomiming for radio.
that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool, man.
No, I threw out like best fight scenes. The question I said, "What's the best movie fight scene?" on the Con Artist Facebook page last night. I actually got a handful of great responses. I didn't limit it to Kung Fu, but a lot of people said They Live, which is pretty classic. I think that'd be in my top five as well.
Never seen
more recent movies, and by recent I'm thinking now it's almost 15 years old. But one that still sticks out to me, I swear, is the two ladies in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon when they're in that weapons room. Just keeps escalating, adding weapons to it, getting crazier. Put myself on the spot. Now I can't even think of any other ones. I know Tony Jaa in the was it Ombok 2 or 3 where he's bouncing around on a bunch of elephants. That was pretty strong. His movies work for me because it always looks like he's making some serious contact with his knees. So what would you rank as your best one? What's like the baddest ass hit ever?
The baddest ass hit? Ooh, I don't know, man.
Because you can go back to the old school Wu-Tang movies where they're pulling hearts out and shit. Like, if you're talking a little more realism, I'm wondering what...
If you know what? How about a really fun one? The five-point exploding heart technique.
Kill Bill?
Kill Bill. They talk about that the whole movie, and then you finally get a chance to see it. And it doesn't disappoint. You got David Carradine, you got beautiful Uma Thurman, and he goes, he taught you the five-point...
I was about to say, doesn't it make him shit his pants? And I just realized that was in the movie Hot Rod. It did a similar kind of punch.
Actually, that another great fight scene. Confusing with the unblockable scene. Punch.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg and, what's his name?
Ian McShane from Deadwood.
Yeah, I was about to say, freaking Al Swearengen.
Yeah. So, back to just one more note on your beer. You said you're going up to school soon, and you told me that's up in Chicago?
Unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
The second city.
You're heading into the belly of the beast of this polar vortex. And we're here bitching about 55 degrees. But I have friends in Atlanta who got stuck on the highway last night. It's a freaking nightmare. But the weather here, it's been so up and down. It's like a cold front comes in, drops it down to near freezing. Then 2 days later, it's back to 80-something degrees. It feels like that planet Vin Diesel was running around on in Riddick. It's like super hot, super cold. Chronicles of Riddick, not Riddick. The one that was Pitch Black Meets Dune.
Was that Furia? No, that was the planet he was from.
I don't even remember. But
I remember that dude who looked like Sting from Dune, actually.
Yeah. No, like, that movie had a lot
good
of
reference,
Dune.
Man.
Yeah. That's two movies with Keith David that have been dropped tonight, too. They Live in Dune. Or, I'm sorry, in Chronicles of Riddick. The one
I was about to say.
He's not in that. The voice of Cartoon Network, man. The guy who made Jennifer Connelly do Double Penetration in Requiem for a Dream.
Awesome.
Made Marion. So creepy. Meanwhile, he's pitching Powerpuff Girls to me on commercial breaks.
Actually, he did one of the voices of Commander Anderson from the Mass Effect series.
Oh, yeah, he's a pretty prolific voice actor. He's one of those guys, like, you don't realize Clancy Brown and a lot of these dudes, they're hundreds of cartoon credits to their name. Ron Perlman, even. Speaking of shite weather, the Super Bowl is this coming weekend in New York, Jersey. And we're watching crews shovel snow off of the seats all weekend. This thing is going to be a disaster. So I guess a few years back, they basically promised any city that built a new stadium they'd get a Super Bowl, and it has not been a factor because Detroit and Indy and some of these northern spots have domes, but the rest have been the lower half of the U.S., but I think this is going to be such a cluster. I mean, people are defending it, saying, oh, it'll make for great TV, and that a snow game's like real football and all this other shit, but that argument flies for me for like a mid-season game, but not for a one-and-done, all-and-nothing game. But
it's like a Super Bowl one over there in Green Bay back in in the 60-aughts.
Where they beat, I believe, the Chiefs 35-10. Don't ask me how I know that.
I want to say yes. Just because?
It's one of those trivia questions. I think it stuck with me. But there's a reason they play the game in a neutral site and up until this weekend, neutral conditions. But I don't even think – do you even care about the Super Bowl? Is it even on your radar?
I don't think we're even allowed to say Super Bowl without paying somebody. So
that's true. That's always –
let's call it the Superb Owl.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert's trending topic.
Is that what he does?
Well, he's got a thing going on this week where he's got, like, owls on the show, and he's like, if you love this, hashtag Superb Owl. So everybody's just hashtag
Superb Owl. I don't watch any of those shows, so
yeah.
I
don't. Oh, no, it's not the first person to make that joke, but he's running with that hashtag.
Oh, man.
Now, you got to say Big Game unless you're officially a sponsor of the Super Bowl.
Or a Big Game Hunter.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's okay. Not only do we have bottled beer, we have canned beer.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
I'm going to split this with you. The Tampa Bay Brewing Company. Not to talk a tremendous amount of shit about this place, but I went there and I waited 25 minutes for a microwave burger, and I let that poor girl have it, unfortunately.
Well, they were the only game in town to get the beer tasting and food, but now Cigar City's opened their own freaking restaurant up in North Tampa. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
I'll try to take you there before you head out.
Yeah, no, let's see, before Saturday. Well, no, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I was going to watch Anchorman 2, and I went down like... I was with Sarah, and I said, we have about 15 minutes before the movie. Like, hey, I'm going to go down there, slam a burger, and go up and watch the movie with you. 25 minutes later, burger sucked, walked out, got to Anchorman late, whatever.
Oh, shitty.
Yeah.
Are any sports on your radar? Just wrestling?
just wrestling. I was showing Sarah a bunch of old judo videos for about half an hour. I don't know if you knew this, but I was a judo champion in college.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I know that you've also turned her on to, like, old wrestling promos from Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man.
We're nightmares of the best part of my day.
Cup of coffee.
I brought that shit up a couple days ago. Oh, yeah. We got to have, like, a steamboat. Ooh. And he's got, like, the cup of coffee in the main stand. Come on, Macho Man.
There's that one and the other one, and I don't remember which one it was, but there's a point where he just... trails off and then walks off a frame, and me and Gene's like, Macho, what? He's like, no more questions. Yells it from far away. But yeah, Macho Man, he was always one of my top fives. He was in my honorable mention list when I was counting down my five favorite wrestlers, actually, not too long ago on the Con Artist podcast. I'm pretty sure my five were Malenko, Benoit,
great one.
Jericho,
great one.
Punk, and Hart, Bret Hart.
Was Ric Flair on that list at all?
Nah. Not that I don't love the guy from back in the day, but... Were you watching back in WCW when it was in its heyday with the Monday Night Wars where he had the heart attack on air?
I sure did.
Because I bought it. I thought that was a shoot for
everybody
him.
Did.
Well, the big news now, and it broke a couple days ago, the dude's name trended all day on Twitter yesterday, CM Punk walking away. And my thing is, if this is a work, because everything eventually gets turned into an angle, like Edge banging Lita with Matt Hardy got turned into an angle later, Montreal Screwjob was denied for years later, it's like, yeah, it was kind of an angle. So, you can never tell what's real. I straight up bought into the fact that Ric Flair had a grabber and fell down. Take a beer from me.
There you go, sir. Enjoy.
Yeah, it was when he was running around with, like, some China knockoff, and that referee that's still around, Charles Robinson, was called Little Nate. I felt like a jerk, because later on I was like, shit, that wasn't real at all. Because he's wrestled, like, 15 years after that. But
funny thing, I was looking up, going on with promos and everything, I was telling Sarah about Tony Schiavone, how he'd make the most inappropriate comments, like while dudes are on live, just making people feel like asses. I was watching him come in and just talk a bunch of rot.
He was not one of my favorites. He and Mike Tenay would get on there, and I think their only saving grace was Bobby the Brain Heenan was their third man during WCW, and he did save. He would have some funny damn references. But.
We saw this one clip of, I think it was the Dungeon of Doom or something versus the Four Horsemen. Back with Mongo, the weaker version of the Four Horsemen. And out of nowhere, the NWO shows up to tear the place up. This is back in the day when people were throwing garbage into the rings. I think there was an actual fist fight between Kevin Nash and one of the, like, Kevin Sullivan. I don't remember who it was, but yeah, the Giant had turned. He was NWO. Cuts this promo about going to Hogan's 25,000 square foot, saying 20 Harley Davidsons, 5 Mercedes, spitting on the TNT logo and knocking a table over. And Bobby the Brain Heenan, a lovely line says, you can go ahead and have this, Schiavone. I'm going to higher ground. And he leaves. He leaves the booth. Yeah. And Sarah could not stop laughing for like next 3 minutes. And watching Big Show try and cut a promo and flubbing and Hogan coming up and just, come on, brother! And then a fist fight breaking out.
Nice.
And he's... That?
With Kevin Sullivan, it might have been the shoot because he's a crazy, crazy man who I met at SuperCon last year. There's rumors still to this day. There are people who believe he straight up killed Chris Benoit and his family. I mean, make a spit your beer, but some of my wrestling buddies, whom you know, Adam and Martin, mm-hmm. mostly Adam, has this theory that...
That he broke into their house and
no,
murdered
Sullivan
them?
No, Sullivan said years prior, like, one day I'm going to come and I'm going to kill you and your family. And I don't know if he said it on air or behind the scenes or whatever, but, like, it stuck with people, and they're like, he was so crazy that he might have gone and done a full-on, like... made it look like he did it, but I don't buy it. I think he really did just have 10 times the normal steroid amount in his body and went crazy.
Was it like the Steve Austin breaking into Brian Pillman's house?
Yeah, right. Can you imagine that today on TV, how edgy that was that he pulled a gun on him and it cut
and,
the feed cut?
And he cursed.
Oh, yeah.
He'd drop some unsavory language on live television.
I'm pretty sure they bleeped it out, but still, he was swearing like a sailor.
Wife screaming, crying, bawling. His friends getting their asses kicked outside with kiddie pools.
Yeah, they had to do that because WCW was starting to make their moves, and they were both pulling like 8 shares on cable back in the late 90s. Nowadays, like, Fed's lucky if it pops a 3 or a 3.5. But for anybody who knows anything about rating systems, I don't know why I do. Nielsen's are a sham. I've never met anybody in my life who has one or knows anyone who has one.
Is it built into the television? Like, how does it work?
They send it to people. I've seen some people with blogs being like, I got a Nielsen. It's kind of shitty. it's 2014, and they're still taking forever to, like, count the DVR views and, you know, all the next days and the Hulus and the iTunes downloads and stuff like that. So, antiquated as always. Shows like Firefly and shit get the shaft. To this day, people are still bitter.
We still have our fan fiction.
But back to Punk, like... One of my five of all time. Like, I've seen him wrestle indie shows before he was on, even with WWE. Their documentary they put out with him last year was, to me, the best one they've ever done, and it's actually streaming on Netflix, too, if somebody wants to watch it.
What's it called?
I have no idea. Just search WWE CM Punk, and I'm sure it'll pop up. But that's one I actually, like, bought the Blu-ray of and cared enough about. And it goes into his whole, like, Ring of Honor and prior career, but it talks about how the reason he has the X's on his...
Is he really straight-edge, or is
straight,
that...
Straight-edge is a shoot. He's been that way his whole life. And they actually explain in the video, because a lot of my wrestling friends did not know this, that the X that stands for straight-edge came from all-ages concerts back in the day. They used to take a marker
and
X your hands.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah, did you not know that?
I did not. Huh!
I didn't either till the documentary, in all honesty, but it's funny how many people didn't. And then a couple straight-edge guys were like, yeah, you didn't know that? I'm like, no, dude. I'm drinking a beer right now.
Yeah, I know, right? I'd go to the House of Blues.
Yeah, right. All ages shows. I mean, don't get me wrong, I miss them. That was a part of, like, childhood. But, yeah, they'd always put the X on the underage kids' hands, and those kids obviously are straight edge, and they kind of just adopted the thing.
It must be, like, an East Coast thing. I, you know, growing up in Los Angeles, Warped Tours and whatnot, we never had any of those defamating marks. Is that a word?
Defamating?
Sweet.
Defamatory?
Yeah, man, I went to, like, 9 Warped Tours.
Oh, damn. They had a Dirt Rocker Festival here. Actually, not down, right down the road from where we're at right here in Zephyr Hills, Florida, if you're familiar with the famous water brand that comes from here. They had a thing called Livestock, which, of course, was just an outdoor festival. But it was like, I would say, the Stained kind of bands of the world, like our 98 Rock, Clear Channel Rock and Roll Station down here would play the all the Newport Richie Dirt Rocker type crap. Like, the last couple of years they did it, I think they stopped recently, but it's like the Avenged Sevenfold and Disturbed and all those kind of...
Was Chevelle there? Because it's not a real show. Oh, ooh. Yeah. I remember when they were handing out their little promo CDs in front of the Whiskey Man.
But that was like a yearly thing. That and Halloween Horror Nights at Universal were like a ritual for me and my group when I was a kid.
Now, did you say you saw, who was it, Dean Ambrose?
Oh, yeah, we actually went for the first time this year because we heard about the Evil Dead, Cabin in the Woods, and a couple other mazes we wanted to check out. And yeah, we were standing in front of Renee Young and Dean Ambrose from WWE, which we'll get back to Punk in a second. But Livestock, I'll never forget, like Livestock 4, I remember going with my cousin Dean and saw they were just breaking their very first songs, Hootie and the Blowfish and Bush.
That must have been a pretty incredible show.
You forget Hootie and like Smash Mouth and these bands when they first came out were straight up like rock and roll, and then they quickly became like adult contemporary mm-hmm. pop music. But seeing them right before they all got huge.
Wow. Like, you know, I don't like to tell this to a lot of people, but Bush is one of my favorite bands. Like, Gavin Rossdale really knows how to tear that crap up.
Tony and I get called hipsters on a daily basis, but I always say, you say that like it's a bad thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
I am a hipster to a point with a lot of things, but I also am not ashamed to say I like mainstream stuff.
Nah. Hey, true facts, if you get offended by getting called a hipster, that means you're a hipster. And if you call somebody a hipster, you're a hipster.
There you go.
There you
so
go.
So the other people doing it, you guys are hipsters, and I'm not offended, so I'm not.
As the resident hipster for the Con Artist Entertainment yes. Network, I can...
That's tongue-in-cheek, of course.
I can make all of the rules I want.
If you make up your own rules, you are a hipster.
By the way, just actually speaking about Gavin Rossdale, what was it? That movie Constantine. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Hellblazer. John Constantine.
Oh.
A blonde British man turned into a black-haired Keanu Reeves.
I was wondering about
Angeles.
That because he was in the the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how come he doesn't look like Keanu Reeves?
Oh, yeah, they incorporate him into the DC Universe now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't hate that movie. They didn't really play up what a shyster con artist he was until the very end when he kind of gets one over on the devil.
For those who
played
are...
Played by who?
By Peter...
You said his name last time we were watching Big Lebowski. You're like, Alicia, that's Peter Stormare.
There we go. Yeah, I'm a couple beers deep right now. Oh, so. No, yeah, it was great, man. But Gavin Rossdale is one of the demons. Fantastic.
I completely forgot he was one.
Yeah, he does this one line where he goes talks about...
that wasn't Gavin Rossdale, it was Tilda Swinton.
No.
Just kidding.
Yeah, that's what we call it effectively as a troll. For those who,
thank you for saying it was effective. I'm really bad at trolling all the idiots on Facebook.
Uninitiated.
Much better than me.
nicest
thing you've ever said about me.
Besides your hipster. He talks about, he's sitting there with Daddy whatever, the Daddy Midnight.
Warbucks.
And he's talking about human souls. And there's a fantastic line. He looks right at Keanu Reeves. He's like, human souls. Finger looking good. Stuffs his whole hand in his mouth and makes us pop. And gets right in Keanu Reeves' face. Everybody's in Keanu Reeves' face in that movie. Even Peter Stormare. He even got a little taste with his little tongue.
To bring it back around, did you see 47 Ronin? Because I heard that people took a giant poop on that movie.
I have not. That's because I've been busy with it. That is on my list of things to do. I very much like to see that movie.
Your Netflix queue will be linked in a good bit now that you're running out of town for a bit.
Ugh.
But that I added Man of Tai Chi last night, speaking of what I was telling you about.
What
the
did you think?
Streaming. No, I just added it to my queue.
Okay.
I haven't watched it yet.
But by the way, Sean Talley has like more movies on his Netflix queue than anybody I know, having been there like a couple weeks back and seeing like, why haven't you seen any of these movies, and why are there like 1,000 of them?
I'm not just that guy that has 200 plus. I'm that guy who still has the disc plan where I get the ones that obviously they don't stream. So, and they either come to my house and they're gone in 2 days and back in the mail, or they're there for 6 months because I never get around to it. Like right now I have Henry V based on a recommendation by our buddy Austin Janowski. He's like, it's one of my favorite movies. I'm like, I'll watch it. I've never seen that Brana movie, as he's done many Shakespeare versions. But it's been in... on top of my TV for about 6 months. So, anyway, we've covered a good bit with that. Let me hit a break. We will regroup and be back on the other side with plenty more. You are listening to the Orange Room broadcast on the Con Artist Entertainment Network.
I mean, I've been, like, modeling and stuff, but, I mean, it's totally not my thing. Like, I just think I'm a nerd, you know? I've been into video games and comic books and stuff. I don't know. I'm just a total nerd.
Hi there. I'm Brian. I'm an actual nerd. I wear these glasses to see. I watch Star Trek, TNG. I play Skyrim. I'm shy. I'm not wearing a nerd costume for Halloween. This is how I actually dress. And when I take these glasses off, I'm not suddenly revealed to be sexy or cool. I'm still a nerd. I get sick with fear talking to people. I'm not skinny enough to fit into hip jeans. The only reason I'm not very pale and actually have a tan is because I went to Venting a couple weeks back and got to dress up and run around in a field. It sucks. I mean, a sexy girl who went and saw second week screening of The Avengers is not a nerd. A real nerd is ashamed to be called a nerd. So please, get real. If you're not a nerd, don't call yourself one.
You are listening to the Orange Room broadcast on the Con Artist Entertainment Network.
Hey now, gang, Sean Talley and Antonius Block are back here with more of the Orange Room broadcast here on the Con Artist Entertainment Network. Thanks again for tuning in. Daft Punk, they're coming off a Grammy win last weekend. And yeah, I know all award shows are a total farce, but the Grammys really may be the worst of the bunch, even when they accidentally get it right sometimes, which I think they did with Random Access Memories. I think Get Lucky won Record of the Year, and then the album itself did win Album of the Year.
You know, I listened to that pretty in-depthly. I don't know. My hipster sense started kicking in, and all in all, like, it's just one good song, and after that, it's just like you're waiting for the next pop. Like you're waiting for the next Get Lucky. I'd say the closest thing to that was the Giorgio song, more so because you're hearing the story about a guy who pretty much came into the scene and sculpted it as he constantly reinvented it. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. You're going to be hit or miss. At least it wasn't a Radiohead album, which, ironically enough, is my favorite band.
Okay, good.
Don't tell anybody, though. Neutral Milk Hotel.
Neutral Milk Hotel. We're all terrible hipsters. I told somebody the other day, I'm like, I'm not ashamed. I really like The Killers. Like, I always have. It's a band I've enjoyed since they came out. And, like, that makes me not a hipster to say that. Like, yes, U2 kind of blows nowadays, but I was a huge fan of theirs for over a decade. Joshua Tree.
Amazing album. But, like, I was...
Awkward Baby, one of my favorite albums of all time.
Going back to The Killers, there are many a night where I was sitting there. I play an incredible amount of Rock Band, especially Rock Band 3. I've got about 300 songs that I've downloaded, and The Killers has been one of my favorite, just anything to play, because it's so easy to digest. And when you're sitting there, like, you know, come 11 o'clock, 11:30 on a Saturday night with no date, nobody there.
I don't know what that's like.
I am the unmarried.
Not because I'm a player, because I've been married for a good while now. Or I should say I've been with my...
Sitting there, completely trounced on alcohol, crying in your microphone saying, I'm Mr. Sunshine.
You mean Brightside?
Whatever, yeah. Man. See, I really don't listen to that music.
No, it's all good. And the other song you heard in that break is actually called Is This How You Feel by the Preachers. Preachers, not like Sermon Givers or the Vertigo Comics character, but spelled like Creatures, just with a P instead of a C. But 2013, Killers actually put out a new song from like a best of, but it was a great year for music, and I was turned on to a bunch of good bands through your show, actually, Radio Ulna. Free plugs.
Thank you for that plug.
Yeah, it's all good. Every other Friday on the Con Artist Entertainment Network, you throw up a good playlist of just brand new stuff. Stuff that's so new I can't even find on Spotify a lot of times when I go to look for it.
Yeah, I try and keep it as esoteric as possible. That's the goal. If you've heard of it, I think I've failed some way in life. No, it's usually just for those who haven't listened to Radio Ulna, It's pretty much anything within the last month or month and a half, or maybe 2 months at the very most. I try and find the most obscure, obtuse music that I can put together, and I try and keep ahead of the curve where I'm trying to compete with the other ones. You know, you've got your Pitchforks, you've got your NPR, All Songs Considered, Bob Boylan, I love you, by the way.
you just named my only other two real outlets to find new music, that and SiriusXM, you in the car.
So I'm trying to keep ahead of it, and you'd be surprised how long it takes to actually put together a radio ulna. And I'm listening to music for hours at my house, just put... downloading random albums legally. Yeah, downloading albums, just sitting there doing mundane things, working on stuff, cooking, cleaning, you know, just doing whatever. And then you hear a song, like, okay, write it down.
Such a hard life you have. You have to listen to good music all day.
Oh, some of it's not good. Some of it's awful. But, I mean, I appreciate the plug, and I appreciate that you said some kind things about my podcast. Even, like, outside of, like, the studio, like, Chantal said some really nice things about the music I got to put up, so.
I'm a nice freaking guy.
Yeah, you are.
But just on the year, I mean, I found like almost 200 songs to throw together on a list that I was kind of compiling throughout the year. But like some of the bands, Savages, Chiverches, as my wife calls them, Foles had a good album this year.
They had an amazing album.
Yeah,
back in February.
My Bloody Valentine comes out of nowhere with their first new record in ages.
Yeah, it's been 22 years. It was a sequel to, I do believe it was Loveless. Just some ambient drone noise rock, but it makes sense. Like just. I'm sorry, I'm going on a hipster tangent. Yeah.
No. You said ambient, whatever, noise rock, and I'm sitting there, and my brain just went all the way through, like, Mars Volta and some Pixies and some other stuff, and I was just thinking of some bands who do that.
Actually, that you mentioned the Pixies are coming back in a big way. Yeah, Black Francis and his cronies are coming back.
They never went away.
Oh,
slicing up eyeballs.
Yeah, they're coming back together to make something nice. So I guess everyone kissed and made up, so they're coming up with something pretty good.
I was at a festival show. The name escapes me right now. They used to do with the Queen Mary down in Long Beach. Do you remember that one when we were living out west?
No, I really didn't.
It was
didn't
a couple-day festival, and like they'd have some bands indoors inside the Queen Mary ship that sits at the Long Beach dock there. And I just remember sitting, the Shins and Modest Mouse were there that particular year.
Oh, my God.
The only ones that are... dawning on me right the second, but like I remember sitting next to a guy and he's talking about how he saw the Pixies a few times. He's like, last time I saw them, those assholes, they just played six long songs. Oh, that sounds about right. Yeah,
yeah.
I can see a Pixies concert being some experimental shit, and then like the bass are in the middle, and then back to experimental shit.
Yeah, I'd always made a joke, but it's probably not a joke, that if I ever had a daughter, hopefully I won't. I want to name her Valoria, just because. That is probably top five songs of all time. Very, very short, very droning, but it's a song about love, and I'm not going to sing any of it. I had to resist the urge, Tyler, to actually...
I believe in a thing called love.
Valoria, not, actually, did you talk about Long Beach? I have not heard of the Queen Mary mentioned in any conversation with you. I didn't know you actually hung out in the LBC.
Oh, I don't
hang out
there. Are
you a Crip?
I don't hang out there. Snoop Dogg, I am not. But, no, we went down there for a show. I was actually living in the desert at the time. Went with a few friends of mine out there. And I think at the time it was 2004-ish. Shins were blowing up because of Garden State. And
Modest Mouse.
Oh, Flaming Lips. You know,
can I cut you
there.
Off right there with
Go
Garden
right
State?
Ahead.
Let me tell you about 2000 and, what was it, 2004?
Yep.
Zach Braff, this goes out to you. You single-handedly ruined indie rock for the rest of us.
Ouch. Just,
yeah.
That's a bold swing.
You made a goddamn mixtape and you put
into
it
a
out,
movie.
And put it out onto the world. And you know what? I'm going to go out and say that I blame you for hipsters. I used to be an indie kid. And then we became hipsters. I don't know how that happened. But Zach Braff, remember what I said the other night about Harry Potter ending?
Yeah.
How it created Twilight and all these other horrible... Genre divergent.
Yeah, I wasn't on board, but yeah, I remember you saying it. Go ahead.
Anyway, so Zach Braff, you can't see me, but I am flipping you off as hard as I possibly can. And I want you to make another movie.
No, he's making one with my Kickstarter money.
Yeah.
I have two words for you about Garden State. Let go. Let go.
Yeah, that movie. Oh, man. The movie in and of itself.
I've defended that movie a good bit to people. I have Fawner on this very network calls it Hipster Dreck, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe, but until you make your own movie, which he wants to do, shut the hell up.
So
I'm a fan. It wasn't my favorite movie that year. Shaun of the Dead, I believe, and or The Incredibles might take that nod. But that was a good film year, I remember.
So you've defended Garden State, but you would not defend Sucker Punch. What kind of God would allow this?
I hear the arguments people make for Sucker Punch, and I don't necessarily disagree with them all. But at the time, you do walk into movies with baggage for directors sometimes. And a lot of times directors, like currently the movie Noah, Darren Aronofsky's making, not all directors should make their passion projects.
The Fountain.
The Fountain? Well, yeah, you could argue he already made one of his passion projects, but I think Noah looks like crap. And if his name wasn't attached to that and you asked me who directed it, I would be like, Roland Emmerich, the 2012 guy, right? Because it looks like a disaster movie. I'm being serious. Like, that's Aronofsky kind of trips me out. And I'll wait and see like I do with anything. Michael Bay's Ninja Turtles and all kinds of other crazy stuff that the internet likes to jump on and freak out about, but I always say wait and see. But
what were we talking about, music, before we started jumping down directors' throats?
This is how the show goes, man.
Dang.
By this show, I mean anything I'm on. I'm tangenting into tangents.
Yeah,
but
we...
Back to
Zach Braff. Listen,
dude. No. Different Zach. Back to Zack Snyder, the director of Sucker Punch and more recently Man of Steel. Another movie that has not gotten better in my head.
Oh,
I did like
Chantel.
Some stuff about it. And people, there's a funny meme that's out there. It's like people bitch that the first Bryan Singer Superman movie, he never throws a punch. So then they finally get a movie where he fights like Superman and people are like, too destructive. You know what I mean? Like, it's a valid argument. And people did piss and moan about the destruction. Part of Man of Steel that bothered me was like, they didn't need to wedge in Perry White and the female Jimmy Olsen. I think they called her Ginny Olsen in the movie. They didn't need Lois Lane in the movie. Like, they should have just done what they did and made an origin Clark Kent in the Superman movie, and then at the end he meets Lois Lane and stuff like that. Like, she could have been some version of Lana Lang in the I don't know. That's all side bitching. I defended it when people flipped out about him breaking the neck of the bad guy. And
spoilers!
Yeah. I was about to say Zod, and I'm like, should I say... With the internet existing nowadays, the 5-year rule has become like the 1-year rule.
See, I always thought it was 10 or even 15.
That's a debate for its own show. Like, what is the rule? 5-second rule to pick up food off the ground.
No, not if you're in the military.
I know. Well, Antonius has slept in a hole or two in his day. But whatever, I'm not allowed to say tradecraft. Zero Dark 30 taught me what that word was. Anyway, I had issues with Man of Steel, but Zack Snyder, my main issue is that he loves the ramping effect in film where he does a speed-up, slow-down gimmick, and it works in 300 and stuff, but Sucker Punch is almost overkill. And it is a valid complaint to say that movie felt like a long-form music video or like a video game trailer. Because every time I get what they were doing with the different levels of deepness, and there are moments that are cool, but like when Jenna Malone's character eats it, you're like a couple levels deep Inception style, except this movie doesn't hold a stick to. And there's like no real carnage or aftermath or like effect. Like, there's no weight to that death because you're in like a several level deep fantasy world. So that's just one thing that I'm remembering. But I remember, who was it? Scott, what's his name from Backdraft?
Bakula?
No, the actor. Sam Shepard, not Scott. Who the hell's Scott? Sam Shepard in Backdraft was the guy. He like spoke all these platitudes. He was the bus driver in the movie. Remember, he showed up as like their sensei and different stuff and all the different versions.
That wasn't Sam Shepard, was it?
I think it was.
I'm going to go and say it's not. Do you have the electronic internet?
I have internet.
And just, well, Chantal is looking that up. I'm going to go on and say that at my basest level, Sucker Punch appealed and pandered to everything that I love in life. I love Japanese schoolgirl outfits. I like samurai. I like robots. I like robot samurais fighting Japanese schoolgirls who are also some form or shape or samurai. Nazi steampunk zombies, dragons and orcs and the storytelling. I will give you this: the storytelling could have been a bit more fulfilling. Like it's kind of like getting an empty sandwich. You know, you get some meat and the bread. You could have thrown some mayo on there with some acting, maybe. I don't know. They didn't have the best cast, but they were great to look at. And I got to turn off my brain for a little bit and watch a bunch of girls run around. And like I said, at my basis levels, there's some Jungian, Freudian stuff going on in there anyway. But all in all, I very much love that movie. And to this, till my dying breath, Sean, I will say that Chantal is wrong.
No. Just as you're expounding on it, I looked up the movie Sucker Punch. And the first title show up is Sucker Punch split into two words. And it's some movie. I started reading the list. I'm like, who that? And I looked up and it's not. It is two words, but a different movie came up. That was really strange. Let's see. Scott Glenn. It was a Scott. I should have stuck with it. I said Scott something, then it said Sam Shepard.
Yeah, because he played, I think, one of the senator guys in the Newborn movie.
For the record, the dude looks like a mix between Sam Shepard and David Carradine before he practiced Kung Fu.
Oh,
but,
point of order, he doesn't have a mustache.
Regardless, they look very similar in their old, crusty age. Sam Shepard, Assassination of Jesse James, a lot of good movies in the past several years, but Scott Glenn that I'm thinking of was in Silence of the Lambs and Training Day. And
was he Buffalo Bill?
A couple Bourne movies and stuff like that. No, that was, what's his name?
Vincent D'Onofrio?
I was going to say Tom Noonan. While I'm here, shit, IMDb.
Well, regardless, Sucker Punch, go out. It's on streaming media and DVD, so go buy that. And also Zack Snyder, you can do no wrong in my eyes. So there you go. Also, I very much enjoyed the Superman movie as well, although my one confession is that I was so excited to watch the movie. I went to Cinebistro on a Thursday night at midnight to go watch that movie, and I did not know it was 3 hours long. I got hammered in the lobby and fell asleep halfway through and woke up to pretty much murder, which I have no problem with. Apparently nerd rage kicked in for half the country, but that's neither here nor there. Sean Talley.
Yeah, right. Anyway, my bad. I'm 0 for 2 tonight, which is I'm going to go with myself later. Ted Levine. It was not Tom Noonan. Maybe I'm thinking of Manhunter. Might have been Tom Noonan as the bad guy. Whatever. Something with Hannibal Lecter. I swear to God Tom Noonan was in. But regardless, Ted Levine, who was in Monk and Shutter Island and a few other things.
Who was he in Shutter Island? Was he that guy with the long
face? He was the warden, actually.
Yeah. Shutter Island.
He was the captain on Monk. I never really watched that show, but...
Tony Shalhoub, though, man. Wings.
Tony Shalhoub of Galaxy Quest fame, one of the most underrated films of all time. Genius comedy.
Overrated.
Bullshit.
Have you heard my Alan Rickman impression?
Go ahead. Give it to the masses. They need this.
Hello, my name is Alan Rickman. I'm here to sell you...
No.
Alan Rickman, the key to success with Alan Rickman is to enunciate every single thing and to just make long, pregnant pauses between saying your name. Like, hello, my name is Alan Rickman. That's the best I got.
That was Antonius Block's Alan Rickman impression.
Please don't tell Alan Rickman, a.k.a. Booby. A.K.A.
all women started hating him after Love Actually because he's kind of a sleazebag.
But loved him in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Totally redeemed himself. Spoilers.
That one definitely. I mean, the book has been out that long. That's not a spoiler, but...
It has been more than 5 years.
That's true. Did you ever see any of the YouTube videos when they were opening those books up at midnight to, like, at bookstores and stuff where they would sell, like, when 6 and 7 came out, that people were running up on YouTube and being like, Snape kills Dumbledore! There's one funny one where they drive by and there's a queue around the like block at a Borders or Barnes & Noble or some place that'll be out of business soon. And you hear the guy yell, Snape kills Dumbledore, and one of the girls in line goes, no! They screech away. God, people are horrible. This whole world's become trolls.
It's easy, and it's
easy.
Fun.
Just like your mama. Not yours, that's a pervert. That's a general comeback.
I know that comment you wrote about my mother.
Your lady friend, that's usually one of her go-tos. If it were any easier, it'd be your mom.
Is that what she says?
You should read her blog, dear lord.
Oh, one random bee. It's entertaining. She actually put one up.
No, she's good.
Yeah.
She's good. She's good people.
No,
we
banging
like her.
Each other's old ladies and or
we like her. We actually, as you run away to beer school, we're going to take her, as you have converted her to a wrestling fan, to the NXT event in a couple weeks as they film that in Orlando at my former alma mater, Full Sail University. And I think they're doing one like in town in Orlando, like an armory or something that we're going to go hit up because I've made my wife and our friend Jessica fans of Sami Zayn and a few other people who are full of muscles. So Sarah said she's in, so we'll take her to that and... Keep the love going.
Is Artie English going to be there?
Aiden English.
Same thing.
Yeah. Encore?
Encore?
Not to talk about wrestling too much because we'll lose folks who I know tune out completely on it, but we never even got to the CM Punk stuff. We don't know what's going on with that yet, but it did throw a wrench into WrestleMania plans as he was clearly going to fight Hunter, Triple H, at the granddaddy of them all.
I think The Rock actually threw the biggest wrench because he pretty much said, no.
He's like, I'm locked into a movie, guys. I don't want to pull my abdomen again and look really out of shape like I did last year when I lost to John Cena.
Yeah, about that.
That was a pretty disappointing match, and the New York crowd took such a crap on it. They were not having it.
First pay-per-view of the year, man. I gotta talk about it. The Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, the Royal Rumble, which we all watched together last weekend. Go ahead.
I'm going to say this, that... People need to start listening to people. I don't know what goes on in creative, but... And being a fairly recent wrestling fan over maybe the last year after being out for like 10 years or so, it was lackluster. A lot of puff and fluff. I don't know.
Well, the Bryan Wyatt match that opened the show was kick-ass. It actually stole the show, and we missed the first couple minutes of it, but it was far and away...
Yeah, sorry about that, by the way.
No, it's okay. Technical difficulties. The issue is that people were chanting for Bryan, and the reason why is in recent years, people who had opening matches on the card still would show up in the Rumble match. And this year, none of the three did. Obviously, Big Show got the crap kicked out of him, and then Cena Orton had it out. And the Wyatt family showed up in the Rumble, but not Bray himself. But
I'll give you that. You know, I will say that the actual individual undercard matches were entertaining. Psychological, Daniel Bryan, the Bray Wyatt. It's always fun to watch the back arch. I don't know how you feel about the spider walk, but...
That was actually the first time I saw it. The last time I was watching a pay-per-view with Bray and some of his Raw matches, he did not do that. So that was new to me that he's doing the Exorcist creepy spider walk.
No, it's pretty good. And, yeah, Bryan put on a great match. Not so much with the John Cena match. It's kind of boring, but the...
crowd took a poo on that one, too.
Yeah, about that. What was the other match?
Lesnar and Big Show.
It was fun to watch Brock Lesnar just break people.
I read after the fact that I guess Big Show was hurt, so they had to cover it in a way. So that's why he just beat him to a pulp.
And it was great. If anyone reads Paul Heyman's Twitter, it is as entertaining as watching him speak. It's starting off with, you know, my name is Paul Heyman. That's how you know it's going to be.
My client, Brock Lesnar.
Watching him talk about how he, quote-unquote, subjugated the Big Show was the adjective of the night. Or is that a verb?
It's a verb.
What is that? Was that a new beer opening up?
That's a verb. Heyman, for my money, is one of the top managers, just characters in wrestling history.
Mm-hmm.
And his ECW is what really got me into just not WWE-only kind of wrestling. That's when I realized that there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on in Japan and Mexico. And as much as they remember that stupid organization for hardcore matches with kendo sticks, like, Heyman was such a brilliant guy that he would wedge in, like, this wrestling clinic with Eddie Guerrero and DiMalenko in the undercard. And, yeah, you may go home going, oh, my God, that guy caught on fire. But, like, you're also remembering that there was, like, a match that would blow away anything that WWE and WCW were putting on TV at the time.
Do you know what I remember? Was watching when there was an invasion from WWE, and you had Kurt Angle, and I think it was, who was the WCW guy? The Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
He brought his cronies down, and they were on the floor, like the WWE guys were on the floor, and Stone Cold comes out, going back to his old ECW days, and he tells Chris Benoit, who's up on the top rope, kill this son of a bitch.
Oh, like, to Bischoff?
No, to somebody else. Like, it's kind of like awful foreshadowing for Chris Benoit.
Maybe Kevin Sullivan told him to yell that line. That's what you call a callback.
Burn. Kevin Sullivan's going to kick down this door and power lift us.
No, he'll go on TV and go, I'm going to kill that guy one day, and then one day I'll show up. Anyway.
So, yeah. The Royal Rumble. The Rumble event in and of itself was not... It was entertaining. It's fun. It was fun to see Roman Reigns.
As did I not predict every step of that stupid Rumble?
This guy was like...
As soon as Sheamus came out, I said, all right, the final three are Reigns, Batista, Sheamus, and they were. I said, Reigns is going to have his huge breakout tonight, and I think by Mania, that'll be what looks like the Wyatts versus Shield 3-on-3. That'll be the final dissolve of that group, and Reigns might break out as a babyface star. He's got the size, he's got the look, he's The Rock's cousin. He's even tatted up like him, so he'll definitely be a big deal in the Fed.
That was the Fed.
I'm sorry, I hang around wrestlers, and they all call it the Fed. I feel like a mark for doing the same thing. Yeah.
Not the biggest fan of Batista coming back.
Well, my issue, like yours, was as soon as the Rumble was over, he was gasping for air. He was gassed. And there's rumors that, and this may be complete horse crap, but part of CM Punk's walkout was he was angry that, you know, his spot, Brian's spot, everybody's spot were taken by a dude who was completely out of shape.
Yeah, it was not the best thing. I even took to Twitter and... at Dave Bautista. Yo, hey, like, where's the gas tank, bro? Where's the oxygen tank, bro? And I'm glad he didn't kick down my door because that would have been unpleasant for me and for him. So, predictions? Anything for WrestleMania? Any thoughts on that?
Right now, it looks like Bautista Orton will stay the belt match, but I think it'll be Hunter Bryan as one of the big four, Taker Lesnar, and then Cena will be in some kind of program, which I don't know if the Wyatt thing is going to last all the way through them. I don't think it will. There's a lot of rumors he'll do some kind of one-off or tag match with Hogan or somebody they might bring in.
I heard rumors about Sting floating around, too.
Every year. Every WrestleMania year. Undertaker will have some crazy promo videos, like that year he was in the cabin. They thought that was going to be him versus Sting. And it was actually Hunter walked out to interrupt him, but I don't know.
It's going to be an interesting...
My predictions for this year are the Super Bowl is going to be a mess. And the losing team is going to go, yeah, but the weather. Weather cost us the game. So I'd like to think that Peyton's legacy doesn't rest on shitty snow and wind blowing his ball out into the stands, but we'll see. I'll be watching that Sunday just for the event of it. And I am a Peyton fan. I hated the man in college as a Gator fan, and I've loved him ever since he's been a pro. And I know you're not a big sports guy, but my words on him versus Brady, there's a few points. Brady goes down and the team goes 11-5 and was incredibly hot with Matt Cassel, who's a scrub. Peyton goes down and the team implodes and goes 1-15. And if you're going to base your argument on just rings, then Troy Aikman and Terry Bradshaw should be considered two of the five best quarterbacks of all time based on rings. So Manning over Brady all day, and I hope he does get a second one so people get off his back and he's got as many as his goofy hayseed brother Eli and that other rapist burger.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Talley. She said no. She said no. Then we saw Roethlisberger in the crowd in Pittsburgh.
That's right. The Rumble was at Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And somebody in my house shouted, she said no. She said no. Trying to start a chant with like four people.
That's what you do in wrestling. You chant things.
Daniel Bryan.
So before we get out of here, we've run the gamut of all kinds of stupid topics. And, oh, as always, too much wrestling. Once it gets brought up, it's hard for me to turn that off. Cause
do you want to go back to music? Or look at 2014. Also, since we are still technically in January, New Year's resolutions.
I'm sorry, they go for the month? You're allowed to tweak them all the way till the 31st?
I'm going to try to, man. I mean,
well, what do you got? You're following one dream by heading up to beer school.
Yeah, so. For those of you who don't know, I walked out of my job. Like, I walked in and said, I'm done, and I walked out. And I'm following my dream. I'm literally going to be living my dream. Going to beer school and all the fun stuff that goes along with it. So look for me in a couple of years, maybe, and this year. The Swill Works, W-E-R-K-S, Drink Swill, et cetera, and so forth. But did you have any resolutions or anything? Or what did I go on about in a rant? I was drunk when I wrote that thing about the goals. What was it? Start? Yeah, it was a start. What are you going to start doing?
I've had a busy year for about four straight years. It was like the old Fight Club thing, like... What do you do? Go to college. All right, I went to college. Call my dad up. What do? Get a job. Like, I kept doing all those steps for the past few years. I've been with my lady for 8 years when I finally was like, I got to pop the question to her. So there was a proposal a couple Christmases ago, a whole year of planning a wedding, which happened in October. This past year was figure some stuff out and go on a honeymoon, which we did this past fall. And now this year, my long-term plan has always been to pick up and relocate, which I have not done in a while. She and I ended up back in Florida, and we did not mean to stay here this long. So I will be heading out west, to quote Kid Rock, to be a cowboy. No, to set up shop in Austin is what I'm actually planning on. So she and I have been talking a lot about that as far as we're not in our 20s anymore. We're not just going to pick up and go. We're going to look for some jobs and try to do it the right way. But getting back into production work a lot, and I've got the itch to get out there quicker. I'd go out there tomorrow if I could. So I'll be doing that. That'll be the plan for this year. And other than that, well, the only thing I did, I think, this year so far is I quit soda, and I do not miss it.
Oh, wow.
Completely relieved my...
Not even cream soda?
No. Dude, that's still soda.
That's the best soda.
Not even ginger ale in an airplane, which is the only place you ever drink ginger ale. But
I stopped it.
It would give me indigestion like a mother, and I was getting to where I had to eat Tums a good bit. So as soon as you quit, every time I quit soda, I completely don't need the Tums, so...
Yeah. I guess my start would be start listening to lyrics and music.
Sorry, mine was a very pragmatic kind of thing. Like, I need to quit soda. And you're like, I'm gonna really feel a song.
Now. I'm going to listen to some lyrics, man. I mean, everything I hear on the radio, I listen to and like, holy shit, this is terrible.
Oh, well, come on. They're written by a committee by guys older than us who are marketing executives.
Yeah, about the same. Going back to the Grammys, one big circle jerk. You heard it here first on the Orange Room.
Wait, the Circle Jerks are on the Grammys? I haven't heard that band's name in ages.
Yeah, that's tune in to Radio Ulna, not this week, but in a couple weeks, and we'll have something nice for you to listen to.
Yes, sir.
Presumably.
Again, this was a first branch-off effort. There's no, divorce with Con Artist Entertainment. I actually run the damn network, for crying out loud. This will be on that network. I may pimp it out to some other spots, and it'll be on the same thing, Stitcher, iTunes, blogtalkradio.com under the CAE network. But the show is going to go through some tweaks, too, and all these guys don't know is I'll have all these different guest hosts, and what they won't know is I'll be auditioning them to be my permanent host with me. So
this was an audition?
No. Shh. Good movie, though, Audition.
if you, feet getting sawed off.
No, that's for Saw.
No.
I know. That's a tangent we won't go into.
Well, thank you very much for having me here, Mr.
Yes. Yeah, thanks so much for being my host on this pilot. And thanks for your insight on Kung Fu and WWE and especially beer, as I myself have become a craft beer snob of sorts. So.
Yeah, beer snob is the new hipster, dude.
Oh, they go hand in hand. Everybody I know looks like you. They all have the same beards and trucker hats, like I said. So there is a look to brewers, I'm convinced, because my buddy Mark and some others, they all kind of have your same vibe. So anyway, if you folks did make it to the end of this episode with us, thank you, or I'm sorry, I'm not sure which one yet, but I am at Sean Talley on the Twitter, and do you have one of your own, bud, that you want to pimp?
Not my personal one, because it's just
no,
like...
No, you can give your beer one.
Swillworks. Swillworks.
Works like twerks, right?
Exactly, like yeah, Swillworks.
That's what you guys are telling people, work like twerks.
Work like twerks. So. Yeah, so, yeah, we'll be, for those in the Tampa area, we are still currently on tap over at the Brewer's Tasting Room up in St. Pete on 4th. Look for the Red Vulture. It's called Red Vulture Mexican Stout. It's a, Mexican chocolate that I made into a beer. It's kind of spicy for those with,
sensitive little bird tummies like me.
Pretty much. And then I've got one coming out. It's the Coast to Coast Honey Wheat, which is going to be at Southern Brewing up on Nebraska, up in Seminole Heights. So go ahead and get yourself a pint of that and shake Brian's hand and tell him what's up. And, yeah, that's it. Drink Swill.
Mr. Block sent me.
Yeah, drink Swill. Drink plenty of it.
There you go. Once again, at Sean Talley on the Twitter, or you can find me at SeanTalley.com if you want to leave me feedback on this show, future shows, anything Con Artist Entertainment related. Feel free to tell me if you liked it, you hated it, or you want me to get bent.
Or if you want Antonio's Block back on there.
Yeah. That guy doesn't talk enough.
It's all music. I never
hear
his voice.
I've encouraged Tony to actually come on there and give like a little opening in the Henry Rollins style like he used to do with his old like crate of music. He'd come in, he'd talk about it just for a minute and then let it play.
Actually, I'm a big fan of Steve Jones. I don't know if you ever...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's where I got my, that's around my tagline.
There you go.
Thanks for listening.
What he said. So until next time, guys. So long and thanks for all the fish. Sorry if we sucked. Promise to do better next time. Thank you again for listening to the Orange Room broadcast on the Con Artist Entertainment Network.
so they say in heaven there's no husbands and wives. On the day that I show up, they'll be completely out of their forgiveness of what. And I can't even tell them the phone. Just tell you that I'm dead and I'm gone, so you won't know. You won't know. You won't know. You won't know.